Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, April 13th, Pope Francis expresses his closeness to Australian suffering after stabbing rampage at a mall. This Pope advances causes for sainthood, and the Holy Father calls for defending the dignity of human life. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Pope Francis has mourned those killed in a terrorist attack in Australia. Today he sent a telegram of condolences to the Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher, on his behalf by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin. The telegram read, "His Holiness Pope Francis was deeply saddened to learn of the violent attack in Sydney and sends the assurance of his personal spiritual closeness to all affected by this senseless tragedy, especially those who are now mourning the loss of a loved one. He likewise offers his prayers for the dead, the injured, as well as the first responders, and invokes upon the nation the divine blessings of consolation and of strength. At least 6 people were killed and several in critical condition after a stabbing attack at the Westfield Shopping Center in Sydney." Also, Pope Francis met today with members of the Spanish World Heritage Cities Group, which was set up in 1993 to defend their city's historic and cultural heritage. The Pope recalled that people build their cities and cultures by mixing faith in God with their historical situations. Devin Watkins has more.
Pope Francis held an audience on Saturday with members of the Spanish World Heritage Cities Group. Welcoming the representatives of various Spanish cities to the Vatican City State, the Pope said the world's smallest state preserves a rich heritage, as does the cities of which they serve as guardians. He noted that humanity's desire to protect its cultural heritage should encompass both the artistic cultural field and the integrity of the person who receives this legacy and of the peoples who have transmitted it to us. Historical situations with their lights and shadows, he said, speak to us of real men and women, of genuine feelings which should be lessons of life for us, rather than pieces in a museum. Pope Francis prayed that God might help the guardians of the cultural heritage of Spain's cities transmit their beauty, as well as the faith, hope, and charity of your people. It is the sufferings and aspirations of the people who over time have built their cities, he said, the mixing of cultures and civilizations that have followed one another in them and naturally their faith in God that make their hearts beat with passion. Cities and their cultural monuments invite residents and visitors alike to reflect on the strength and prudence of those who built them. May they feel challenged, he said, by the lessons of justice and temperance that each historical situation encompasses. Instead of leaving the past locked in a museum, the heritage of cities should help people today to build a better future. We will thus speak, he said, of peoples and their history that is not merely contemplated but realized, with one eye to the past and the other on the future, to always have our hands in the present that questions us every day. I'm Devin Watkins.
On Saturday morning, Pope Francis approved decrees for the canonization of the Italian foundress of the Oblates of the Holy Spirit and the beatification of a Spanish priest and a layman murdered in 1936 during the Spanish Civil War. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Pope Francis met on Saturday morning with Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, prefect of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, and approved decrees highlighting the extraordinary witness to faith shown by 4 individuals. The first story is that of Elena Guerra, soon to be declared a saint, who lived between 1835 and 1914. A Tuscan from Lucca, Italy, where she was born and died, she was born into a noble family who gave her an education based on Christian values. Drawing inspiration from church service in her younger life, she decided to enter religious life, but her family was not in favor of her choice. She later founded the Congregation of the Oblates of the Holy Spirit, known as the Sisters of St. Zita, in 1882. Sisters focus on cultural and religious education of youth. The decrees approved on Saturday morning also concern the stories of 2 future blesseds who, like so many during the Spanish Civil War, openly and consistently challenged anti-Christian hatred and the ferocious persecution by the Republican faction militias. The martyrs include a diocesan priest, Caetano Clauselas Balve, born in 1863, and a layman with a family, Antonio Torrejax, born in 1895 near Barcelona. Both were killed for the faith in 1936. And finally, the decrees approved by the Pope also recognize the heroic virtues of a servant of God, Teresa Lanfranco, born Annunziata Addolorata, a contemporary Apulian from Gallipoli, who died at the age of 69 in Rome in 1989. When she was young, she met Blessed Elisa Martinez, who'd recently founded an institute of religious life dedicated to the parish apostolate and the formation of young women. Teresa joined the community in Botrugno in the Lecce area of southern Italy, becoming a faithful collaborator of the foundress. After World War II, she moved with her novitiate to the General House in Rome, and within the community, she steadfastly carried out peacemaking and mediation work, in which she excelled. I'm Dennis Jones.
Also, Pope Francis met on Saturday with members of the Italian Catholic Movement of Adult Scouts, celebrating its 70 years of foundation in 1954. In his address, he encouraged them to encourage to stay true to their founding values of community, education, service, and care for human life and our common home. He reiterated that love for life is always open and is universal. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Addressing the 150-member delegation in the Clementine Hall, Pope Francis commended the theme chosen for the anniversary, More Life to Life, which he said epitomizes the spirit that has inspired three important projects the Scout Movement plans to carry out this year. The first project is a donation of a thermal cot to the reception center for migrants in the island of Lampedusa. In a time facing a dramatic demographic decline, the Pope remarked, the cot evokes the joy of a child being born and speaks of care for life at every stage. He noted that the donation is also significant because it underlines that love for life is always universal and open to all regardless of their origin or condition. Pope Francis then reflected on the project of building a nautical joinery in Zambia. This initiative, he noted, involves carpentry work, which has a particularly symbolic meaning for Christians.
In un mondo in cui si parla tanto di fabbricare armi per fare la guerra.
In a world where there is so much talk about producing weapons, the Pope said, this image reminds us of our fundamental vocation to transform God's gifts not into instruments of death, but into instruments to build a peaceful society where everyone is given the possibility of a dignified life. Regarding the third project, planting a new forest in northern Italy, Pope Francis noted that it reminds us of our responsibility for the common home.
Sono valori di cui abbiamo tanto bisogno oggi.
This is a fundamental value we must uphold, he said, as we face the dramatic consequences of our irresponsible and selfish behaviours insensitive to the cry of the earth and to the poor. Pope Francis therefore concluded his address by encouraging the Italian Scouts to continue to be an open and attentive community, ready to welcome others, especially those who live in the existential peripheries of our time. I am Lisa Zingarini.
In other news, the U.S. President Joe Biden has urged Iran to not attack Israel in retaliation for last week's deadly strike on an Iranian diplomatic compound in Syria. Let's hear more in the report of Nathan Morley.
Speaking to reporters, President Biden said he expected an attack to come sooner rather than later, and his message to Iran was don't.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel, we will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed. Thank you very much.
Earlier, U.S. officials said Iranian action may be imminent and involve large numbers of missiles and drones targeting Israeli military assets. However, there are some reports suggesting Iran wants to avoid any escalation. Meanwhile, the United Nations Security Council reiterated its deep concern over the human toll of the conflict in Gaza. They've also highlighted the catastrophic humanitarian situation and the threat of imminent famine. It also called for the urgent lifting of all barriers to the delivery of humanitarian aid. In addition, the UN voiced concern over Israel's recent killing of 7 aid workers of the World Central Kitchen in Gaza. The incident brought the number of humanitarian personnel killed in Gaza to at least 224 since hostilities erupted back in October last year. The UN emphasized the need for accountability, highlighting the need for a full, transparent, and broad investigation into the incident. Meanwhile, the Hamas-controlled Ministry of Health in Gaza says the Palestinian death toll has now risen to 33,634 as a result of the ongoing assaults in the territory by the Israeli military. Israel has been conducting a massive offensive against Hamas in Gaza to retaliate a Hamas attack through southern Israel last year, when about 1,200 people, most of them civilians, were killed and more than 200 others were kidnapped. In a separate development, the Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayam Soufadi and the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken have discussed efforts to reach a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and deliver sufficient aid to the Palestinian enclave. In a phone conversation, the two sides discussed regional developments and efforts to reduce an escalation in the Middle East region, stressing the priority of removing all restrictions on the entry of sufficient and immediate aid to Gaza. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Turning to Africa, 7 people killed in eastern Congo. There are 7 victims whose bodies were recovered in the Virunga National Park in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. They were all men between 20 and 30 years of age. Originally from the village of Karambi, they had gone to look for charcoal when they were caught, tied up, and killed with machetes. Those responsible for the murders have not been identified, but local residents accuse the armed rebel group M23, which has been plaguing the eastern regions of the African country with violence for several years. The Virunga Park is the same place where Ambassador Luka Antanasio's convoy was ambushed in 2021. In other news, turning to Turkey, 1 person was killed and 10 others injured in the southern Turkish province of Antalya when a cable car collided with a broken pole, prompting a massive operation that rescued a further 174 passengers, Turkish officials said on Saturday. Turkish prosecutors launched an investigation and ordered the detention of 13 people in relation to the incident, including officials from the private company running the cable car, according to Justice Minister Tong Yilmaz telling reporters. In addition, turning to Nicaragua, Radio Maria's accounts have been blocked in Nicaragua. The radio station has announced that it can no longer access its savings at the Banco de la Producción. Initially, the general coordinator of the station, Roger Mangua, stated that the block was without justification. Later, it had been announced that the decision was due to a lack of up-to-date documentation. However, Radio Maria has said it was confident that it could continue its work of evangelization. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our webpage at www.vaticannews.va and our social platforms like Facebook, X, Instagram, and our YouTube channel. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in the studio. Please join us tomorrow, Sunday, for the Pope's Regina Caeli. And please watch the Pope again on Wednesday for his weekly general audience in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.